Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. Lisa Ann is back again to talk some fantasy football with the boys. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, because they're free. Sode 361 coming hot at you guys, and Sode 360. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Toss Me the Rock, Tosopoulos, Nicholas Snacks Kreider, and yes, the Lisa Ann, to talk some fantasy football. So without further ado, brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Go there, get your welcome bonus, and win some money. Are joined by the Lisa Ann to talk some fantasy football. Enjoy. All right, we are back again with one of our all-time favorite guests. Lisa Ann is joining the show once more. This time, talk about fantasy football. Fantasy football is right around the corner. We are all in a multitude of leagues. Lisa, how many leagues are you in?
So as of yesterday, it was 18, but in the middle of the night, I got an invite from a woman that I met through doing an interview, and I couldn't say no because a woman inviting me into a league, I was like, would be so disrespectful. So now I'm at 19, and then I just get a text before I come home with you guys. My friend's like, yo, I got a spot, and I'm desperate to fill it. Our draft, somebody just backed out. I'm like, let's just polish it off and make it an even 20. So 20 wow. Leagues this season.
Fantasy football junkie.
Junkie.
But what's great about it is I draft with a lot of diversity. Even though I love certain players, I know better than to be too heavy invested in certain players. So for me, it really helps me give better advice following all of my teams, whether it's a success or a failure. The more players I'm obsessed with, the better I'm going to be on Sunday mornings. Like, I'm doing live start sits this year on my YouTube. Yeah. So I need to have all this information on the fly. And the only way to do it is to be on the struggle bus with 20 teams.
And how consistent are your teams? Like, are they pretty similar, or are they all across the board different?
Pretty much all across the board different, because luckily this year I've gotten a lot of different draft positions. Last year I got stuck between the 7 and 9 in about 80% of my drafts. So it was kind of like turning into this routine of like, okay, I know he's available right there. So this year, other than getting the first pick, I've gotten almost every pick so far. So that gives me a lot of variance, because you're not going to be an idiot and book the same team out of the 7 slot that, you know, now you're in the 2 spot. You're like, oh my gosh, I can have so many different decisions here. So The variance is important, and it also allows me to take some flyers late in the draft. I've been seeing Jamison Crowder sitting there at like pick 12, pick 13. And I'm like, yeah, this is round 12, 13. Like, he's a viable player. Like, I know he plays the Jets, but like, come on. So I did draft him the other night in league, and I just did my very first in-person draft since 2019.
Wow.
And I completely, I don't drink in draft, but everybody else drinks when they draft. I completely forgot how much real shit talking there is when you are in a draft room in person. Yeah. Oh,
it's so good.
Where are you guys having it?
We were supposed to have it at Nick's, but now it's up in the air. Alex and I both moved into new places. They're not fully set up yet. We may be forced to host on the fly, though, and so that's a possibility. It's going to be a game time call. But the beauty of I don't drink in draft anymore. One time I was drinking and drafting so badly that I took Bo Jackson in the 6th round, and they were like, dude, what's going on? The commissioner even, like, I had to stop the draft. Everyone go outside, take a 5-minute breather. We'll come back in a hot second. Fisher just took Bo Jackson.
The baseball player?
Right.
I see a kicker go in like round 2, round 3. Oh. I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to be fun. We got a drunk drafter in the house, you know?
Yeah.
Or a defense.
Defense is somewhat like, at least there's some defenses that could come in and drop you like a consistent like 12 or 13.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Bucks defense this year that way. Even the Rams defense, I'm still not taking them early though.
No chance at all. No, I mean, we actually in one of our leagues got rid of the kicker, like totally scrapped it.
So you went super flex, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, both of the leagues that I commission are all Superflex. I love the Superflex, and I love that in two of the Superflex leagues I've already drafted, I took Mac Jones late as my third quarterback because I don't like to play the game by weeks, picking up a scrub and just throwing it. So I picked up Mac Jones, and I was so happy yesterday when the Cam Newton news dropped. I was like, huh, he's not just a bye week replacement at best if he's even playing. I predicted Mac Jones would be starting by week five. But this is he got – Cam just got Belichicked so hard.
Yeah, ruthless.
He Belichicked himself, though.
I'm sorry. I love it so much. I love how Bill rolls. I love that the day before, he was still keeping that beautiful poker face. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a competition for the job. Even though he'd been praising Cam, to me, it's the vaccine conundrum. It's the protocols conundrum. And then Mac got a chance to go out there and just shine. He went out there and he balled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one big rookie that's going to surprise people this year, potentially, if the vaccine play comes into effect. Like, Kirk Cousins is like the only starting quarterback I think that's unvaccinated.
Lamar Jackson as well.
And Lamar, right? But Lamar's had it like three
and
times.
Cam, had it twice now already.
Cam's had it. But is Cam going to get another job at this point? Because you can't knowingly, especially guys like Rivera, you know, the Texans head coach is old. There's a lot of head coaches around the league, like Fangio. Everyone's like, oh, he's going to Denver. It's like, these guys are old guys at the head coaching spot. Like, and Rivera is a cancer survivor. They're not just going to knowingly bring in a guy who's unvaccinated.
Urban Meyer came out and said that they took in consideration for the cuts who was vaccinated, who was not vaccinated.
Yeah.
And after Urban Meyer said that, the NFL launched an investigation because it is absolutely not in the rule book for the NFL for him to act that way. So that's why Bill Belichick was smart today when he came out and said what he said about it not being the reason why he let Cam go. But from what I know from some players who are getting ready to go out there and hit that practice squad as a backup potentially, teams are not interviewing any players at any status if they're not vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Makes complete sense. That
could call Cam season.
Yeah.
I think from a quarterback standpoint, I mean, it's smart that you drafted three quarterbacks, even in is that a one quarterback league?
It's a super flex. So two quarterbacks.
So that's what our league is.
I always draft a backup quarterback anyway.
Smart. It's smart. And I think this year even more so, because if you're in a 12 man, I'm even in one 14 man.
It's kind of defense, honestly.
It's like, there's not a lot of quarterbacks out there. Or there are, but some of the guys, you don't know if they're going to be starting for the entirety of the season. So you're running a real risk by not taking at least one guy who you know is a for sure starter, who's a top 12 quarterback in the league, with your quarterback one, especially if you're in the super flex league. Like, then you really got to make sure that you have a backup that can step in and play.
Yeah, we're going to get into quarterbacks really quickly, but I drafted three quarterbacks last night in one of my leagues. I took Lamar as my first, Tom Brady as my second, and I took Deshaun Watson. We're curious to know your thoughts and feelings on drafting Deshaun Watson, what you make of this whole situation. I know there's a ton of, you know, hoopla and so much stuff going on, and we can't really know exactly what's going to happen, but what's your opinion on the situation?
I'm staying away from the Texans altogether, and I'm staying away from Deshaun Watson as well. Whether he plays for the Texans, whether he moves, or whether he doesn't play, these are all just huge what ifs. For me, it's too early in the season to waste a spot in a draft on a what if. Even an injured player, I'm not even happy drafting Michael Thomas, even though I know I could wait till week six. A team could have a COVID situation where you're not getting any of those players that week. Now you have a player that you can't even play on your bench. So with Deshaun, I feel that this entire situation has been way too much of a distraction. Mind you, he did show up at camp, so he didn't get fined. But then he had an undisclosed injury and didn't work out. We haven't seen him throw the ball. It's not that I don't think he has the skill set, but I do believe hours of his day have been consumed with this drama, this situation, this problem, these lawyers, the NFL. This is an awful situation. We don't know the outcome. I don't care for how this played out. It's too bad that we get to put someone out there in public in a certain way, and before they get to go to court, or before paperwork is filed properly, or before any of this, because no matter what, he's tarnished forever because of this news cycle. And now this news cycle might just so happen to go away. He's playing again. Everything's back to normal. To me, the distraction is too much for me to trust him to go out there and either not get injured or not be present as much as he was before all this happened.
Yeah, I mean, totally. I mean, we've seen it in the past with other quarterbacks, Big Ben,
Jameis, who have had scandals, and they have bounced back in the media. I mean, Deshaun, if he is cleared, could bounce back potentially. But as it stands right now, I mean, it is one of the weirdest sports stories, you know, outside of this Bishop Sycamore thing that's gone on Twitter and ESPN in the past 24 hours.
I had to read about it to find out why it was such a big deal, because I was busy and I kept passing by and people kept saying that's where Cam should go. Yeah. You know, I know Deshaun personally, and this does seem very out of character. I would never want to be on the wrong side of not defending a woman if something bad had happened, but the mistakes that were made was breaking COVID protocols and booking a massage therapist when all the massage therapists with the team were not doing massages because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And then also booking a massage therapist on Instagram is next level sketchy, and you're somewhat guilty for that because obviously you're looking at photos before you're booking said massage therapist. Right. And like, you know, are they licensed? Like all these, there's such a gray area, but that right there was a young man move that was such a bad idea that I couldn't even believe that that was how he was actually getting a massage. I mean, in the city, you could go, you know, like we were going to get our nails done, kind of you go back through the back door, through the bodega, they had everything boarded up and you're in there like it's still boarding up for protest, but they're not going to take it down because we're illegally getting our nails done. But I didn't have a girl from Instagram come over and do my nails. You know what I'm saying? Like right. I still went to a business. So there's a lot of mistakes that were made there. It's a bad look. It hurts him no matter what. But for you, I just think it's such a roll of the dice. And man, if he goes to Miami, you know, again, another coach speaking out both sides of his mouth. You love Tua, but yet you're shopping for Deshaun Watson. You don't even know when Deshaun's going to be able to play, but yet you got to have Tua looking over his shoulder. It's just a bummer.
Yeah, that could screw up the entire development and developmental mental of his, of Tua.
It would, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these young guys, it's so much. So oftentimes we see, especially when you spend a high pick on Tua, the pressure's already there. You want to make it as comfortable as a situation around him. And I actually kind of like him this year. I'm like thinking that Tua could kind of come in, light it up. I think the run game is suspect for sure, but there was, if Waddle was playing, that guy's got lights out speed. Parker is a vet in there. Gesicki's solid. All of a sudden, you add Will Fuller, who, again, another guy that can fly. And if he's fully healthy, that team can be really dangerous.
Will Fuller's healthy like 4 big games a year. Okay,
know, like, dude, everyone's like, he's got like 235 yards.
He's suspended too.
Yeah.
And he's suspended for the opening of the season. He's like, it was Will Fuller and Kiki QT blow thing for the Texans. I was like, here are two players that if you could mash them together as one, you'd have like a wide receiver one. Yeah. But right now you have a wide receiver 4 in both of them and you never know when to play one of them.
Exactly. Yeah, it's scary.
But I think that's the good lesson, right, about Deshaun Watson and just like kind of an overarching thing that people should bring to their drafts. You don't have to reach for someone who's coming back. Like Michael Thomas is a different case. Because he is supposed to come back week 7. We know who Michael Thomas is. Mm. We were disappointed at him last year, of course, but they don't have many other options there. And no matter who's the guy under center for them, he's going to get run and he's going to get a ton of targets and a lot of receptions once he comes back.
So he will, because you know what? He'll go on social media and freak out if he doesn't, because we already know he does not like the New Orleans Saints. He has no problem expressing it on Twitter.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think that for any of the listeners out there, like you don't need to run the risk on other guys that are available, because week 1 through week 3 is when you pick up off the waiver wire guys that win you the league. Like James Robinson last year was undrafted in most drafts. If you needed a running back, because you know, who was the Dolphins running back at the start of it? It wasn't Gaskin at the beginning. So make sure that you have guys that you can drop. Like if you want to take a flyer on a guy like Bryan Edwards, who's a wide receiver for the Raiders, you see what he does week 1. If he's not getting any targets, okay, drop him for another guy that had 7 receptions. Like that's right. When you want to be able to be really, really malleable with your roster. So don't lock yourself into those guys that you know aren't going to be there for the first 6 weeks.
I agree with you. And also people forget how stressful it becomes for bye weeks, because you're holding on to a player for a what if. You're obviously going to have at least 1 or 2 injuries within the first 6 weeks. So you're already going to scramble a bit on the waiver wire, maybe try to get a trade going. Then you're going to hit bye weeks and bye-mageddon, where we have so many teams on bye in 1 week where it's just straight up bye-mageddon. One of the tips I've been giving this year is to try to stay away from stacking. I know it's hard to resist, but the maximum you can stack on one team this year is 2 players. I've been stacking Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield. I've been taking Baker late as my 2nd quarterback in 1 quarterback leagues. And I've been getting Odell so cheap, like 8th, 9th, 10th round. I can't let him sit there any longer. Like I'm a draft pick, and I'm like, I just can't do this to Odell anymore.
I feel like Odell's getting disrespected.
so disrespected. It's hurting my heart. But then Jarvis is so consistent. You know, so what I've been telling people is think about what we're seeing right now with the Titans. We're already seeing some COVID protocol stuff go down. Do you want to have four players on one team? No. You don't. Ooh. So two should be your limit because we're still going to have protocol scenarios. And some players are going to sit for 5 days. Some players are going to sit for two. And you don't want to be behind that. So I think variance is more important than ever.
Unless you can pull off a Kelce, Mahomes, Hill, then say it too, I feel like.
But yeah, but what if you get to Kelce, Mahomes, Hill, which is taking up quite a bit of your roster, right? And what happens if there's a protocol situation and
True.
2 days before the game, you don't have any of them?
Or Mahomes goes down and then all three are affected.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm sorry. I just had to say, I don't want anyone to get hurt. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I just had to throw that out there.
I did wish ill on players during the draft the other night, but that's part of the smack talk, right? Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Mothers, players, no one is safe for those 2 hours.
You didn't mean it.
No one meant it.
I think most of the time, like, it's within consideration of guys that have already gotten hurt a lot, right? Like, we're just talking about Will Fuller. Right. But there's some validity to it. Like, yeah, he's gotten hurt before, and that's why we would forewarn people to go out and take him earlier than he's projected.
Absolute China doll.
And with Will Fuller, last year I was all over Will Fuller, and I was so excited for the season that he was having. When he got busted for PEDs, it made perfect sense to me. He was using the PEDs for recovery. That's
he wants to get healthy.
The best part. Right. So I lucked out on the season where he was doing – is he going to be good without them? Is he going to recover? Because he might be one of those players, you know – when I've gotten to tour facilities, I always tripped out on Monday meetings and Tuesday meetings because some guys are literally walking in on crutches. Some guys have a lower pain tolerance than others. Some guys are rolling in on a wheelchair because they're in so much pain, right? Yeah. Every week they say is like being in a car accident. So it's a matter of how does your body handle and recover from that? What do you do? Is it cryotherapy? Is it heat therapy? So for Will Fuller, my concern this season, the reason I'm staying away is just because I don't know what he can do without it.
Yeah, agile, fragile. I mean, we've said it before, like a guy like Dalvin Cook is almost a lock to miss at least a couple of games in the season.
Yeah.
A lock. You just got to try and hope you know when they're
going to be. Differently. You know, I mean, you look at a guy like Derrick Henry. I mean, I hope nothing ever happens to him, but it's kind of hard to believe that he's going to miss any games next season, just the way he's built.
Just he's just a different running back, and I'm loving how he's slipping in a bunch of the expert leads that I do because they're like, there's no way that he can – do this again and duplicate no running back in history. I'm like, he is unlike any other running back in history. And when I look at players, I analyze, are they football first or are they also like lifestyle people? Like they're out partying. You see that those are the players that concern me the most. Yeah. So I look at players that are football first. Saquon, though he got injured, football first. We saw him come back from an ankle injury 2 seasons ago rather quickly and play really, really well. Doesn't party, doesn't drink, doesn't do anything like that. So to me, his recovery can be a lot cleaner than somebody that does all the other stuff.
Definitely. Well, let's get into a little bit of, you know, who we love, who we don't love, and then a sleeper. So we're going to just go position by position, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end. We're going to need a new kicker. We've already mentioned we don't love kickers in this league. But Lisa, who's a quarterback that you love this year?
I'm seeing Matthew Stafford sitting there late, and I think it's ridiculous because Matthew Stafford loves the tight end. That young Tyler Higbee in Los Angeles has been waiting for a quarterback that could sling it to him like Matthew Stafford can. You still got Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods. So I also like Stafford late as like a backup quarterback.
That's your sleeper, yeah?
Yeah, it could mean just for where I'm seeing him go. I'm like, why doesn't anybody love Matthew Stafford in his new home, you know?
Yeah. I got to admit, he's the guy that I love too. I mean, he's definitely going to play with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, going to a new location, finally giving him an opportunity to win some games. He hasn't had weapons like this since Calvin Johnson, right? And not saying that Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are anywhere near the type of player Calvin Johnson was, but he's finally got some playmakers that can help him out.
Mm-hmm. And he's getting to play in better weather. We see older players like Tom Brady move to somewhere warmer, and it does help them too.
Warner. No, it's totally Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner went to the Giants and absolutely stunk on ice, literally. And then they threw him back in Arizona and was absolutely electric. I mean, he did have Fitzgerald and Bolden, but like, you know, that team was great.
Any guys you'd stay away from this year besides Deshaun?
Besides this, Sean, you know, I'm kind of staying away from Jared Goff. I want to see what kind of quarterback he is in a new system. He did so well his very first season that it kind of ruined him, right? Yeah. And I don't know if it was a McVay thing, but I can't be a part of that experiment right now. So I'm staying away from Jared Goff.
Yeah, Totally. I mean, I love this. I think we're all really high on Stafford and McVay being partnered together.
Yeah.
They have a bevy of weapons. I mean, Toss and I, we're actually in the league that the three of us are in. It's us two on a team, and then Nick is okay. on the other team. So in our car ride, I won't divulge everything we've discussed, but Matthew Stafford was heavily involved in our discussions, and I'm sure Nick is on
do
that
Do you know your draft
team.
Order yet?
We do.
We do.
Nick, you're at the two. Alex and I are at the six. It's a 10-man league, two quarterbacks. Nick's the reigning champ.
Nick won't tell us who he's picking at the two, which I think is a little, come on.
It's a little suspect.
Well, yeah. The thing is, I don't want you guys to tell the guys picking at one who I'm going to
tell.
Oh,
we would
taking
never,
McCaffrey.
We would never tell
who cares?
No.
Are they taking McCaffrey, though?
Would you not, Lisa?
Yeah, I mean, I have no concerns about him coming back from the injuries last season. If you watch him on Instagram, you see how he's been working out. I'm confident McCaffrey. But if he doesn't go, who do you think would go with that first pick?
Well, it's the guy that I'm taking at number two. It's going to be Alvin Kamara. And I think he's the safest bet, in my opinion. I know that Derrick Henry just spoke on him, but we're going to get into the running backs in a short second, but I'll just kind of fast forward a little bit. I think that he is the most versatile running back in the NFL. Yeah. I think that they're going to rely on him super heavy with Jameis trying to find his footing there, whether that's, you know, giving him more carries or just Jameis, you know, dumping it off
dumping
to him.
Dumping it off, yep, yep.
And I just think that he's one of those guys that's built differently, that has stayed away from injuries his entire career. He was very healthy at Tennessee. He's been very healthy his entire NFL career. I mean, I wish the best. I hope nothing happens, but he's just built differently, in my opinion.
I agree.
This is Nick's chance for revenge. We had our first year, or maybe our second year in this league. I had the second pick, and Nick had the sixth pick. Nick shows up to our live draft. He's got his Kamara swag on. He's like talking about how he's going to take him.
Kamara was going at like 6, 7, 8 that year. Like yeah. No one was like picking him in the top five.
And I took him at 2 just to screw Nick.
What a dick move.
Yeah.
But I love it. I tell people, don't put your favorite player in your team name till after the draft, because I'm going to take that player. I don't care if I want them or not. You know, if you're talking about Cup my Chubb, I'm taking both Cooper Kupp and Nick Chubb, okay?
That is a team name, though.
That's a good team name. We had one kid in our league. It was like Cooking Fat Chubbs. And we're like, dude, what does that even mean? It's the worst team. We wrote him the whole year and how it was the worst team name and like the worst use of Chubb he could have ever possibly had.
I know. Cup my Chubb is so good, right?
It's like, that is a I hope I get both those guys. It's a great one. Well, who are some running backs everyone loves? Who's some
Well, Josh, hold on one second. You had a quarterback that you didn't like, right?
Jared Goff.
Yeah, there was a QB that we didn't like. We don't like Jalen. I love Jalen as a player and Jalen as a person, and I think he's one of the hardest working guys out there. He's an OU guy, so it's even tough for me to root for him in that capacity. It just seems like they don't have much faith in him, nor do I have much faith in that team at all. That team is two shakes away from dumpster fire.
I forget about Jalen because I'm so stay away from that entire team. Now, I did take Miles Sanders out of desperation because he was sitting there late and I was kind of short on a running back because I had a great wide receiver run. But I agree with you. There's just something there that is so bad. So I would avoid Jalen as well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think any QB that's on a bad team, right? Like, or that.
Yeah.
Like Goff doesn't have a lot of weapons and I don't expect a lot from him. It's the same thing with Jalen. Like even if he gets in the end zone with his legs a few times, like you just never know. Gardner's a great backup. If he goes down for a little bit, he could take the job. Like we've seen a backup do it in Philadelphia before. I wouldn't be surprised. It's going to be competitive room every week.
Yeah.
For me, that's the biggest thing is we don't know how long he's going to be the starter for, right? Last season, he had a 52.3 completion percentage. That's terrible. If he continues that trend where he's not an accurate quarterback, where you're completing a little bit over half of your passes, someone's going to step in there, probably Gardner Minshew, and take over that job. And I still am not sold on the weapons there, right?
Yeah, not even if Gardner comes in, it's not going to be a good filling in, right?
And like, no. I'm really not sold on the weapons there, right? Zach Ertz has been falling on draft boards every single year. I know they add Devontae Smith, but who knows? He's a rookie. I mean, we can't really trust if he's going to be the guy to really transform the Eagles' offense.
Yeah,
I agree. And I love Goddard, but again, he's competing with Ertz. So it's one of those, like, I don't want that wish-washy of a tight end room either. So yeah, it's a stay-away situation there for me too.
How do y'all feel about Derek Carr? A guy that if you waited on the QBs, you could
stay away.
Stay away.
Why does Derek Carr seem to be the most unsexy pick, right? Well, when you look at his rankings, that scares you away. But you have to really analyze the season last year, what he had, who was injured, how he was not able to really work with Ruggs yet. But again, he doesn't land on any of my teams. And each time you go in, you say you're going to be spontaneous, your backup quarterback, who do you want to take? I can never press the button that allows me to draft Derek Carr. So I love Josh Jacobs. I'm taking Henry Ruggs late in some drafts, but yet, and we all love the tight end Darren Waller, but man, yet we cannot let ourselves draft Derek Carr. It's the lack of yardage that's hurting us all, but I'd love to see him have a good season. I really would.
I also think it's a lack of trust as well, because we've been saying it every single season. I think this is the true season, that this is his last chance to be the quarterback of the Raiders. If he doesn't deliver this year, then Marcus Mariota is going to be the starting quarterback come week five, come week six.
Yeah, you cannot win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr as your quarterback, and I'm sick and tired of anybody saying otherwise. It's just very blatant.
And he's proved us that, right?
Yeah.
We're not just pulling this out of our hat. We're just like, this is fact. This is it. And it's a bummer for a Darren Waller, who could get more action from a better slinger than Derek Carr.
Oh, my God, dude. He could be like, he has tight end one potential if there was a guy just somewhat better than Carr. And I would rather, honestly, I'd rather take a flyer on Darnold than Carr, because he's got Robbie Anderson, he's got DJ Moore, he's got McCaffrey in the backfield, he's got a new system.
He's got Terrace Marshall Jr. too. I mean, that they've got weapons on
that little
team.
Rookie is a good sleeper, pin yeah. that, because
he ain't
Terrace
little.
Marshall, yeah,
he ain't
yeah,
little.
I know.
He's a big boy. No, they're
big.
I really like what the Panthers have this year. Yeah. I think if you're going to take a flyer, like between those two, like you're talking about, Josh, in a super flex, I'm in on Darnold as my QB too. That's a good pick.
We'll see what he does. We'll move on from the quarterbacks in just a quick second. Josh and I both had a mutual sleeper, because I think he's getting disrespected. Baker Mayfield has maybe the best offensive line in the NFL this year. Yeah. And he's getting his guy Odell back. Mm-hmm. Jarvis, we've mentioned, is always reliable. They've got Hooper. They've got a great core there. And obviously the running backs are amazing. I think he's going to really take his career to the next level. Finally, he's had some years of seasoning experience. I think he's going to end up being a top 10 quarterback this season.
I agree with you on that. And Baker is available late in drafts, and so are his targets. Odell's getting disrespected. Jarvis is the forgotten man who never has perfect attendance in the NFL, never misses a game due to injury, does anything that's needed of him. And yet Jarvis is sitting there. I agree with you. And Baker felt that power last season. Look how far he got Cleveland. Now we get more normalcy. They had a camp. They had time to bond together. And in the summers, Austin Hooper is out in Austin, Texas with Baker Mayfield, and they're working together. So that's helpful too, to know when they're working on their off time together to just be better. And we saw Austin Hooper 2 years ago at Atlanta. Was amazing. Last year, great. He had to have that appendectomy, his appendix. Yeah. He tried to come back. He said he wasn't the same. We have to have empathy. We can't just look at the numbers. You have to know the story behind each player and why they had the down season. I think Austin Hooper is such a great late flyer tight end who's going to really do well this season.
Yeah, you put a little Austin in the boy, and then he comes back a better football player, you know? Yeah, always
just a better everything. Just a better everything. You go down to Austin, Texas. All right, running backs. Lisa, who do you love? Who do you not love? And who's your sleeper?
Yeah, I love the pick for tonight, which is Alvin Kamara. You can't go wrong with Alvin Kamara at all. I love that they named their quarterback. This gives the team time to prepare. I do not leave these coaches who think they're playing the role with the media of not letting us know. You're not letting your team know either. You're not letting them go to bed with the right mindset, prepare the next day with the right mindset. So that decision helped me really look at Kamara in a better way even this season. Love Derrick Henry. Not afraid of Saquon Barkley, but am looking at it like you might not see production at best full if they put him on a minutes restriction, anything like that, to like week four, week five, which could be valuable, because you could be losing a running back by then too. And of course, you can never not want to draft Christian McCaffrey. I did get Zeke in my first league the other night. I had the 9th pick and he was sitting there. You're not really seeing running backs that are worth anything at the 9th pick. My biggest concern is what's going to happen for the Cowboys with Dak Prescott. But I do believe Zeke being on Hard Knocks this season was great for his ego. He leaned down a bit. He got to show off his abs. He just needs to be petted like a new puppy at all times. And I think that now he's got that TV presence a little bit. Yeah, he's going to have a good season. And I think that late in the first round is a value for Zeke.
I think that's an underrated aspect. I mean, at the end of the day, these guys are human, right? We just talked about it a second ago with Austin Hooper, right? Like the psyche of an NFL player has so much, especially fumbling, right? He's had those issues of fumbling his entire career. That is a mental thing completely, because Zeke is one of the biggest specimens in the NFL. He could hold on to the ball if he really puts his mind to it. So I think that extra motivation and that extra charisma that Hard Knocks gave him is right on the nose.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is there, and you know, he's the guy that's going to get just unlimited touches. Yeah. Right.
Like unlimited touches.
Those are the guys that if you're looking at running backs, there's so many teams that split the backfield up. Any of those guys that are the true dominant back, like I'm not massive on the Colts offense this year. How could you be, especially with the news about T.Y. Hilton? But Jonathan Taylor is going to get 20 plus touches every single game. And in the goal, like in the red zone, they're gonna hammer the rock with him every single time. So
yeah,
those are the guys that you know are surefire picks who at least have a really high high floor. And then the ceiling is just, those are the guys like Alvin Kamara, another guy, Austin Eckler, catches a lot of passes. If you're in half point PPR, PPR, those are the guys that can take you to the next level.
Yeah, I'm high on Eckler this season as well. I think, I mean, obviously with Justin Herbert finally coming into his zone and winning the rookie of the year, you got Eckler going to be fully healthy. There's not really any competition for him, nope, you know, in the backfield. It's just Eckler and the receivers, basically. So I think that's going to be a fun offense to watch. Who's a sleeper for you, Lisa?
But one suggestion, if you're going to take on Zeke, I definitely think you should try to pick up Tony Pollard as well.
Yep.
Yeah, he's one that I would handcuff. A lot of times you can't handcuff because, like we were saying, it's a shared backfield, and now they got three running backs behind the lead running back. You're never going to figure it out. But with Zeke and Tony Pollard, it's very clear. And Tony Pollard is a great running back.
He's awesome.
If Zeke does get into fumbling problems or anything else happens, you've got Pollard there. You know, late, it's going to sound crazy. It's because he's been in the league for so long, but I'm looking at Gio Bernard in Tampa Bay, and I'm thinking Tom Brady finally has a running back that he trusts for not just giving him the ball, but that blocking running back. And Brady is a very fair quarterback and will reward his running back who does protect him in the pocket. So I look at all of these little narratives. Now, Leonard Fournette sitting there, yes, but that's playoff, Lenny. You won't get anything out of him till late in the season. Ronald Jones continues to disappoint. So even though he's the lead back, we have not found trust in Ronald Jones yet. So Gio Bernard sitting there in the last three rounds, he's the only viable running back in those rounds. So why wouldn't you just go for it? You're on a winning offense with a great line and Tom Brady at the helm. So Gio Bernard is my old school sleeper. It's weird to call a vet a sleeper, but it's not always a rookie. Sometimes it's a new home that brings it out. And I think Gio is going to be on the rise this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think you mentioned the rookies though. I kind of think it's the year of the rookie. And I think Najee Harris is about to go in and ball out.
Dude, he went the fourth pick, my first round the other night. Fourth pick, first round.
Wow.
That's early.
I've not seen enough to make that kind of a decision. That's just wild.
That is a wild decision.
8 or 9, I may have done it. I wasn't going to take him before Zeke, though.
No.
But he's going before Zeke in so many drafts.
Jesus.
I mean, that means he's going before Saquon, too, right? That's crazy. Yeah.
And then either like one, and then like probably Chubb, which again, you're missing out on a great team name. Then you're missing out on that Cooper Kupp handcuff, which is just the most obscure handcuff now in all of sports.
And we touched on it before. And like Lisa, you just mentioned it talking about the Buccaneers. Good offenses are teams that you want to target. Now I'm like, you have to evaluate where you're taking them in the draft. Like, I'm not super high on taking Mike Evans in the first two rounds. I'm not super high on taking Chris Godwin in the first two rounds because you know the ball is going to get spread around there.
Yeah.
But too many dicks you can, if you're going to take a flyer on someone late in the draft, go for a team that actually scores points.
Yeah.
Don't force yourself into a situation where you're hoping Tyrell Williams catches another touchdown pass and he doesn't.
Tyrell Williams, the look on your face, I felt that in my soul because you overdrafted him 1 year and he just broke you, right?
Yeah,
he broke you.
Like, it's like,
this is going to get the Raiders. This is going to be great. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. It was not great. He was just as bad as he was when he was with the Chargers.
Yeah, he caught the injury bug too. So
it's like two receptions. Oh, he's got a touchdown and like 12 yards. It's like, dude, what are we doing here? Why am I wide receiver three? I think that Trey Sermon, though, is like my other rookie out of San Fran. I don't know how married they are to Mostert. Like, he had that sick playoff run, but But outside of that, he hasn't been that spectacular. He wasn't anything last year. And Trey Sermon was electric for Ohio
State. He's good for at least one 70-yard run where he runs, where he breaks the sound barrier and cracks another NFL record for running the fastest anyone ever has. But yeah, you're right. He's glass. He's made of glass. So Trey Sermon's going to get good run.
I like to mention a rookie as well. My sleeper, Michael Carter for the Jets out of UNC. He rushed for back-to-back seasons over 1,000 yards on a great offense last year at UNC. And his competition is going to be LaMichael Perine and Tevin Coleman, who have not been great of late. I think that he's going to end up being the back eventually. I'm not sure if it's going to happen week one, but he's by far the most explosive back on that team, and he's got the freshest legs. I think that having a good rapport with Zach Wilson right off the bat is going to be huge for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. And even if you're not getting production week one or week two, where you're getting him in the draft is a stash spot for your bench that you will be able to utilize when you're ready.
You might not even have to draft him. He might be a guy that goes undrafted, you pick up. So even the last round or just picking him up on the waiver wire. But I think that come middle of the season, he's going to be a guy to look out for sure.
Keeper leagues too, you get him late, like you keep him and like you keep him for like an 11th or 12th. Like one of my keeper leagues is like you lose the round before, then you lose like two rounds before the second year, and then you cut it off at that. He's a guy, like there's guys being kept in my league, like Daryl Henderson's being kept for like a 15th round pick, and it's like Jesus, it's like he's gonna smoke us, this guy. But it's something I have to deal with tomorrow, and I'm worried about
it. Tomorrow problem.
I love that we all have drafts every single night.
I know.
Yeah.
Like every single night up until Labor Day. Like every single night, you just know that it's about that time we're gonna draft coming up tonight.
The life of a sports podcaster.
Except there's only two nights that we don't have it. My Jewish, like really, the last draft I was trying to schedule was like my fraternity, which is like a Jewish fraternity. And like we're trying to find a day, and everyone's like Monday, Tuesday, no go, Rosh Hashanah, we can't do it. No one's like down to do it, and it's hilarious to do it that way. Just funny.
Who don't you love in the running back position?
Who don't I love this year? You trying to list my stayaways right now would be anybody for the Texans. I'm not going David Johnson. David Johnson's best football is behind him. Yeah. And now he's on a team that is just, it's sad, but true. Right. Yeah. Who do you have that you don't love this year?
Honestly, hot take. I don't love Aaron Jones this season. It's a guy that's getting taken in the first round by most leagues. He had a great season last year, but to me, it kind of seems like they are going to give AJ Dillon a lot of carries. And I don't necessarily know that Aaron Jones is up for the same productivity that he had last year. It was kind of an anomaly, it seemed like. It was good because obviously they have a lot of weapons there, and you know, you give him fresh legs with that committee of Jamal Williams and himself and AJ Dillon, but now it's just him and AJ Dillon, and they went and got AJ Dillon not cheap in the draft.
Right.
And I think
they knew they needed him.
Exactly. And when he did perform last year, he was great. I think that that's going to be their running back of the future, depending on whatever happens this season with Aaron Jones. But I would not spend a first round pick on him at all.
There was an expectation that Aaron Jones last 2 years ago, he had a phenomenal year. And then last year we were expecting that he was going to have a touchdown regression, but he didn't. But I think maybe it was just delayed 1 year. And you're right, Nick, that it's just one extra year. And Aaron Rodgers is going to sling the rock like he always does. Like
Josh,
he loves throwing the ball.
You say it every season. You can't win in the first round, but you can lose in the first round. Oh, there are so many other guys in the first round that will outperform Aaron Jones that you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you lose, like last year, I took Saquon first overall. It was over. It's like my home league, like my team name is like a gross name after my friend's mom. It's been that way for like 8 years. It's just like a dirty league where we shit talk.
Why don't you tell her what it's called?
It's called PLL, and everyone's like, oh, why is your team name Pretty Little Liars? And then I was like, we were all at my house watching. It was during college, and everyone's over and like hanging out. They're like, oh, why is your team name Pretty Little Liars? It's so weird. I'm like, no, it's Pussy Lips Linda, and it's like my friend's mom's name, and all the guys start like dying. Like,
I love this because during the month of August, I shoot Cameo draft orders, right?
Yes.
So, I'm peaking at it right now about 10 to 15 a day, which is intense because I've got to write out the leagues. This is what I pull. I pull them out of my Fleshlight. So I have the Fleshlight right here. I took the insides out. I put them in there. It's amazing. They come out of the Fleshlight. But I got it. And also, I get into it. So I go back and forth on chat, like who won last year, who came in last, give me some details about the league. I got one today from the commissioner. It was spelled out C-U-M, okay? And when I read the commissioner, I was like, I cannot wait to read these team names. They were all as bad as, and then there's like descriptions under the person. Like, he's an alcoholic and he always drafts the Drake. This guy, you know, just little descriptions, but bad team names are awesome. I mean, yeah. It's great because I know they've been together. Some of these leagues, 25, 26 years. I always ask them, how many years has the league been together? Because I want to give. This is like a fun thing for me, even though it's hella taxing. And I cannot wait till next Thursday so I don't have to pull another draft order.
Yeah, yeah. You also
are burned out of this shit.
Okay? You're thinking about the 20 teams that you drafted too. I mean, at this point, like, you have every player on every team. That's not
I do. And I also can't be listening to updated news during the day before my draft because I'm too busy talking into Cameo for 8-minute videos, giving all the breakdown of everybody's teams. But it's fun. Yeah. And it's a great way for me to connect with the fantasy community. And it's also a great way for me to see how many of these leagues have been together for 20 plus years.
Yeah. We did, Toss and I both did Josh Cribbs last year to like shout out our league. Toss did it, and then I thought it was because he did such a good job.
Such a random player, too.
So random.
But he was probably cheap on Cameo, right?
He was,
cheap.
And he leaned in.
$40.
He leaned in. Yeah, and this year he's 75. So good on Josh Cribbs. Up in the price. He's absolutely worth it. If you're listening to this and you have a fantasy league, hit up hit up Lisa first, but then hit up Josh Cribbs second.
Yeah. You need to give him some business. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. Lisa's got 10 to 15 a day. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Josh Cribbs is like, he's reading and he's like, and Dan, why are you letting him talk about your mom like that? It's so funny that he just like.
Because you give the notes and we love the notes. Like, we want those notes. Yeah, we want to talk mad shit, you know?
Yeah.
I just, Cameo is the place where you can find the most obscure people as well. Like the Love After Lockup, the 90 Day Fiance people, like, just, you know, yeah, I want you to send a message to my friend. Like, there's nothing better. It's just great. All right, back to this.
I was just going to say, stay away from the Bills running back room.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I agree with that.
Don't play the game.
Josh Allen will be stealing those carries. Right. It's going to be like Cam Newton back in 2000. I think it was 2015. And I'm trying to think of the D'Angelo.
Who was the running back?
Jonathan. He hated being behind Cam Newton because he was stealing all of his carries. That was before he moved back to the Steelers. Mm-hmm. It was awful for him because, and that really pointed that out to me. I remember interviewing him and him talking about this, and I was like, interesting fact for my fantasy leagues. If you got a running quarterback, you may want to avoid the running back because they're going to get into the end zone and you're going to miss out on those points.
Let's be real. Josh Allen's probably RB1 for them. And we don't know who's RB2. Is it going to be Zach Moss or is it going to be Devin Singletary?
Don't that's not a situation where you can, okay, one of them's going to get injured at a certain point during the season and the other guy's going to step up and take the job. That's not the case. Like you just said, he's RB1. I also, if you don't know that much about the players, we've been saying some of the names and you're like, who the hell are you talking about? When someone in your draft tries to steer you in the wrong direction, and when they mention Daryl Henderson and Gus Edwards, and that one guy goes, oh, those are backups, you don't want them? No, you do, because they're going to get a lot of touches. So Gus Edwards and Daryl Henderson, who we already mentioned, Josh, that guy that's keeping him for a 15th pick, that's almost criminal. Like, they're starters.
Yeah, but now starters.
They're starters, and they're going to get good run. I expect Gus to hit the end zone a lot.
That's bus, baby. Yeah. All right. Pass catchers, wide receivers, tight ends, Lisa. Who do you love?
And I love DK Metcalf, and I finally got my first share of him the other night. I was so excited he landed to me because he goes, you know, at really random spots. You know, if you love a player, you will reach for him. And I've seen him be reached for in every draft up until this draft. I love him. And look, Russell Wilson wants to really make it happen this season to prove that he can potentially make a move. There was a little bit of talk in the offseason as all these quarterbacks decided to start expressing themselves. I love Tyler Lockett, but Tyler Lockett only has a couple big games this season. And so you're looking at DK, and he's a monster. I love DK Metcalf. I agree with you when you talk about Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Seems silly to avoid such a great offense, but they're sharing so much of the work. You might as well just go get AB in the 11th round and get your 4 touchdowns because that's pretty much what you're going to get. You know, Brady's not throwing for 1,000 yards to 3 receivers, 2 tight ends. That's not his makeup. So that's why Brady even falls in drafts because of the yards that he doesn't throw. He's a great quarterback, no doubt about it, but he's not throwing up Jameis Winston. It's numbers. I love a late round wide receiver till Thomas comes back is Marquez Callaway. Yeah. I think you got him going in New Orleans. And I think, listen, if he gets a good run going by week three, week four, it's going to be competition for Michael Thomas for the first time, which is going to be exciting. It's going to be great because defenses aren't going to know what to do once Michael Thomas gets back out there. So I'm looking at him. Of course, I'm staying away from my Dallas Cowboys receivers right now because I'm really concerned about Dak. And that's hard to do. But you mentioned tight ends that I love. You can never go wrong with Travis Kelce, but you got to take him early. I'm going for later round tight ends. I love Robert Tonyan. He did get in the end zone 10 times last season. Everybody wants to say that's only because Devontae Adams was injured a bit and banged up. No, that's because Aaron Rodgers wants to throw a shit ton of touchdowns, and he's going to throw them to who's available, and that's Tonyan. Another tight end who I like because I feel he's going to get all the opportunity is Irv Smith Jr. So these are tight ends that are available super late. If you're not jumping for George Kittle, Travis Kelce, and shocker is Darren Waller goes as a number three tight end across the board. And it's funny because you got to think about his quarterback. That is Derek Carr.
He's going to be number one at the end of the season, I believe. I think that's a hot take because Kelce is always up there, but I think Darren Waller is going to come up number one. Unfortunate news today, Herb Smith is out for the season, unfortunately. So.
See, this is what happens when you're fucking shooting cameos all day. Is this a joke? Is this real? Oh my God,
it's going to just like
10 teams.
Just happened.
Luckily, I always do a backup tight end in my drafts as well. I do a backup quarterback, a backup tight end. Everybody makes fun of me. But when these injuries happen, I'm not traumatized. I still have a tight end that I want.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's part of the reason why I love drafting later, too. Guys draft like in the middle of August and like you lose so many players.
I mean,
look at J.K. Dobbins and Cam
Akers. Experts drafts are the first week in August. I'm not doing that anymore. It's torture. Half your team is done by the time you... Oh my gosh, Irv Smith, I'm sorry for you. I had to take a knee for a second there.
Okay. Yeah, that's a tough good. One. I mean, but I think the two tight ends.
It was me and my fleshlight all day. I haven't been able to.
The two tight end things is smart, though. Yeah, it's smart because we know one through three. We know who they are. You can say Darren Waller is going to be number one, but we know he's not going to be number four or below, right? And we know that Kelce's going to be up there. We know that Kittle's going to be up there. The rest of the guys, it's kind of a crapshoot. So, to have that depth where if one guy's not doing it for you, you could slot the other guy in, it's helpful.
Yeah. Hot take, Hockenson breaks into the top three and replaces Kittle.
I could see that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's your guy, right, Josh? That's the guy you love?
Love TJ Hockenson.
Yeah, Hockenson's great. I would say he opens it up to a four tight end race because I don't – Kittle's just so
– Kittle's great. I mean, but that quarterback situation also is like a dumpster fire already. We haven't even started
this season. This is what scares me about Kittle and why I'm not drafting him. It's not Kittle. It's the quarterback situation. And is everybody going to be adjusting to Trey Lance in 5 minutes? Is Jimmy G going to stay healthy? Are we just putting Jimmy G out there until he's not healthy?
I think it depends on what kind of league you're in. If you're in a PPR, if we're praising Darren Waller for being able to be so good with Derek Carr, he gets – 6 extra catches a game because Derek Carr's his quarterback because he drops it off to him in the flat because no one else is open. It's the same thing that happens with George Kittle. He doesn't end up with 14 receptions in a game because he sucks. That happens because the quarterback doesn't know what to do with the ball down the field and he's a safety valve. So it's that's the reason why he's so valuable.
The panic.
Yeah. Is he going to have as many touchdowns as we think he should? Maybe not. Maybe you're right about that. But if it's a PPR, George Kittle's a monster.
I think by that rationale, it also services Noah Fant to do well this season, right? With Teddy Bridgewater coming in there. Look, Teddy Bridgewater is a very accurate quarterback, but by no means is he a deep ball guy, right? He's a guy who dumps it off a lot, and I think Noah Fant's going to have a big season. He's the guy that I love. I would stay away from either the two Pats tight ends because I really don't know which one is going to end up getting the bulk of the load, whether it's Jonnu Smith or Hunter Henry. I mean, it was kind of a mind-blowing signing by both of them. I mean, they needed one, but they got both. And then a guy that I don't love, a guy that as a sleeper for me is Jared Cook. I know he's old, but the tight end is always
consistent.
He's so consistent. And the tight end position always gets theirs in the Chargers offense.
Yes, I agree with you. Now, I will debate the one fact about the Patriots tight end room. I don't trust Hunter Henry's health status. He's always banged up. He's always injured. Jonnu is so good that I'm sad that he's not in Tennessee anymore because he was so good in Tennessee.
That'd be fun.
But I do believe Mac Jones and Jonnu could do some work, and I drafted them both as a combo the other night in the league because I was like, you know what? Hunter Henry, he's already injured right now. Don't know when he's going to be. He hasn't been at camp, been able to practice at camp at all. So I feel like Jonnu has been the one getting the work done.
Yeah.
I was disappointed in that signing. Are there any receivers, gents, that you guys want to throw out there? That
we need to get to? I mean, I think the Marquez Callaway pick was awesome. That was my sleeper as well. I mean, he had an amazing preseason, and he looks to be the guy until Michael Thomas comes back. And you're right, when he does come back, that could be a deadly duo. Maybe lights a fire under Michael Thomas's ass. So that'd be great. I don't love Juju Smith this year. I think the end is near in Pittsburgh. They have way too many options there. Big Ben, does he even want to play anymore? Honestly, I think he's just kind of rolling out there just because. And Juju is clearly still not focused. I mean, he was doing that whole crate challenge the other day where he's walking.
I saw that this morning. I could not believe. And he did it after TikTok even banned it, right? I mean, TikTok, thank you for banning this because we've got a bunch of idiots. Let's just talk about where these milk crates fell from the sky that everybody had so many, because I've never seen so many milk crates in my life. But him doing that, I don't care what kind of an athlete he is. Like, in your insurance, when you sign a contract as an NFL player, they are now going to have to add in TikTok challenges because they have everything from skiing. When they cover skiing, they cover skiing, helicopter skiing, snowboarding, water skiing. Like, they have to go into every detail because their insurance will not cover a player if that player gets hurt doing said thing that is in their contract. That bums me out about him because he's got the talent, but he doesn't have the mindset.
There's two other guys there now, like Claypool and Deontay Johnson, who are just going to jump him if he's acting a fool. Like, I like Juju is a guy that Toss and I took earlier. I rode him a couple times. Like, at this point, he's a wide receiver risking his Achilles doing these dumbass crate challenges. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't even – like, we talked about it, like, I'm going to do it.
Don't people do that stuff to try and get, like, TikTok famous? Like, Juju, you're already fucking famous, bro.
Yeah.
It's just a different era, because we saw guys dancing on the middle of other teams' fields 20 years ago, and they got their lights knocked out. So.
Yeah, T.O. He did it on a star and got crushed, but was it by Roy Williams?
Yeah, I think we just need – it's just a different era. Obviously, no one can do that. But one solid hit on him.
Ass beating's not acceptable anymore, right?
Yeah. Right.
No, I agree.
Soft as the day is long. I think
he's a situation where, like, we, I think, got enticed by him last year. Josh and I, because he was slipping and people were talking shit, and we were like, we know his talent, we know what he can be. It's like the opposite situation for how I feel about Odell this year, who we already praised and we all expect him to have a step up, but, like, maybe pay attention to Juju's ADP, where he's falling, and don't buy it. Yeah. And don't buy it.
I agree.
Throw out Robbie Anderson. Shout out to his family. Like, he's, you know, I'm loving him, and what him and Darnold could potentially do this season. Don't take that.
You loved Keenan Allen too, which I loved as well. I think, I mean, every season he's just so consistent. That's
really, and I love Justin Herbert. I mean, Justin Herbert was my flyer last year in my super flex leagues where I already had two quarterbacks and I wanted my third. And I took Herbert. And how exciting was it when he gets the opportunity to play? Of course, I didn't play him that first game because it was like, we don't know enough yet. And I started to have two quarterbacks. But I rocked with him for the rest of the season. And you're right. I've loved Keenan Allen for years. He's a beast. He's had injuries, but they haven't really been football injuries. Remember, he had a spleen. He's like really unusual injuries.
Like the really unlucky stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
What about Josh Palmer, Nick? Big Chargers fan. We expect Mike Evans to probably get hurt at some point, as he always does.
Mike Williams.
Sorry.
He's so unexciting.
Yeah. He's exciting when he's on the field, but he never is. What do you think about Josh Palmer? Because I think there's certain things that Keenan Allen doesn't necessarily do on the football field. And Josh Palmer could stretch.
I think Josh Palmer stretches the field. You look back at his college tape and you look back at his college seasons. He never really had a consistent quarterback. And that was one of the biggest things that these draft analysts were saying is, what if he gets a consistent guy who is an NFL talent, such as Justin Herbert, it can transform him as a player, right? Yeah. This could be a guy who just literally takes the job away from Mike Williams at some point. I mean, this is Mike Williams' last year on the contract, right? And if he ends up getting hurt, then he's that number two receiver right then and there. So I definitely can see him being a good option on the bench, you know, pick up in the waiver wire. Wouldn't necessarily take him in the draft just because, I mean, it is a little crowded right now. They also have Jalen Guyton and they've got Tyrone Johnson. So we'll see what happens, though. They also have
Austin Eckler, who provides, as a pass-catching back that almost is a dual threat as a wide receiver. You're going to rely on him because he's reliable, as opposed to taking a chance on Mike Williams if you're Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I mean, he catches more touchdowns than he runs for sometimes.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, before we let you rock and roll, back to Cameo, Lisa. What are some of your favorite punishments out there that you're seeing?
Man, I don't know how people do these leagues where they have to get a tattoo And so I do these. So there are quite a few leagues. I would say probably 10% of the leagues where I've done the draft order. So then I write back who has the most tattoos, you know, from losing. Tattoo is just crazy. I got invited into a league that does that. And I was like, no, thank you. You've all heard of the Waffle House torture, yep. You know, 24 hours. I've heard of Denny's. I've heard of McDonald's. Guys to sit at McDonald's for 12 hours. He has to order a burger every hour. All of these crazy, like, stand on the side of the freeway with a sandwich board, chores. There was just one the other day in a small town where I'm from in Pennsylvania. The loser has to cut everyone's lawn for the first month of summer. So you have 11 league mates, and you've got to go and cut every one of their grass. And in the summer in Pennsylvania, you're cutting your grass every 4 days, okay? For a month. Like, but those are fun. Car washes. I've seen all those different exchanges, but I'm not really much for the punishment. I feel bad that you're a loser and you're in last place.
One we have cooking is some kind of dinner, like a hibachi. You know how they could do the hibachi dinner? They come to you nowadays. So we do the hibachi dinner. Whoever comes in last, it's being discussed in our Los Angeles league, and I've brought it to my home league that's been going on for a while.
It's so mean.
It's so mean, but it's awesome. Everyone chips in. All 12 people chip in for the hibachi dinner. They come. Whoever comes in last chips in, but can't eat, can't drink, and is the waiter for the dinner.
Oh, that's very good. I love it.
You feel so bad. It's like, how often do you have a hibachi dinner like coming to you? And there's going to be some softie that's going to like sneak some food over to the guy.
Yeah, but
that ain't eat on the way.
My money's on toss.
He doesn't deserve hibachi. Okay,
it's happening to me. It's me giving the whoever. Yeah. And last the food. Yeah, I would do that. I would. I would slip him scraps under the table. Like
here's like our shrimp tails. But yeah, that's like I think that's a good one. And like a trophy.
I like the lawn. The lawn one's good because it's unique. It's like unique to the location. I'm tired of hearing about
the Waffle.
Like
House.
I was listening to the Waffle House is like at this point it's old news. And people are saying it like they always tell you when someone tells you about it they're like this is this crazy.
Chores
funny,
are amazing.
Like, yeah,
I'm done washing with the cars house. Or cutting someone's lawn or having to do their errands for like a period of time. That's a great punishment. I mean, because it's funny and you get to like take pictures of your friend out there. There was one where a guy had to wear a pink tutu and hold a sandwich board in Times Square saying he lost his fantasy football league. That one was cute. But the hibachi one, it's a win. I say go for it.
Josh, you have a trophy name, right?
This is interesting. We're discussing, it's actually kind of a punishment for whoever comes in second place.
Okay.
And whoever loses the championship.
This is your home league, right? So everyone knows each other.
Everyone grew up with each other. Whoever comes in second, we're naming the trophy after the person they lost their virginity to. So like the memorial.
Like the Shiva Bowl. Like the Shiva Bowl. I mean, I'm in love. I have a Shiva Bowl t-shirt actually from the league. Like, that's a great one.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
One guy was like, hey, like, does it change every year? And then one other guy was like, you know what? No. Whatever happens this year, that's the name for
like the Shiva Bowl. Same trophy.
The great thing is they all know the girls too that they lose their virginity to because they grew up with each other.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I just think it's so funny that like whatever happens this year, whoever's in last place is just chilling. They're chilling. They don't even care. It's the person in second. Yeah, you're competing for like the cash prize.
So brutal.
You get money. Any virgins in that league?
No virgins in that league. There is one guy who lost it at a bar to a random girl who doesn't know. So it'll be the random girl at the bar memorial trophy if he wins. Mm. But other than that,
that would be so great too.
That would be a really random girl at the bar memorial trophy is a hilarious name.
No, someone's
gonna
have to go.
I have a 5 o'clock. I'm a couple minutes late.
Go rock. Go do your thing, Lisa. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon.
We'll do this again. I want to hear about your job. But I do need to ask one very important question. I have a follow up question here. Why can the draft not be at your place tonight? Why are we last minute switching the location? It's been bothering me this
whole
podcast.
Time.
I'm going to need to know nosy Italian woman basis, okay?
We had a fire. No. We have a new roommate, and his girlfriend is in town starting tonight, and he's not even in the league. And so I guess she doesn't want her overwhelmed with like 10 dudes, 10 handsome dudes.
Can you guys all chip in and get them a hotel so they can go and just do their business? Get them a cheap hotel down the street.
For a couple of hours.
Get them go into a restaurant. It's not like you guys would be the draft until 4 o'clock in the morning. That is not a valid excuse. New roommate needs to understand this is going to happen year after year. And you better set the standard now. This is fantasy football. Okay.
Exactly.
Leave your emotions on the side and allow them to draft in the initial spot because this is now going to be bad luck for everybody because you are scrambling last minute to find an actual location for a draft that is happening tonight.
Oh, you know what? We're going to rip this clip
with
right
traffic
now.
In Los Angeles? Say
we're sending this clip to this guy right now.
Yeah, we got it.
This clip is getting to
with
right
traffic
now.
In Los Angeles, I'm stressing for all of you. So I'm wishing you all a ton of love. Thank and we'll you, do this
Lisa.
Again real soon.
Best
see you
of
soon.
Luck,
Lisa. Take care.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye-bye. I'm not going to say I hope you enjoyed it because I know you enjoyed it. All right. Josh Fisher here from the Charity Stripe along with Alexander Desopoulos and Nicholas and Axe Kreider. Fans out there, drag both feet and bounce, swing on a full count. Rip that puck, hit that putt. Hit your PKs because they free. Hit your free throws. Why, guys? Because they are free. We out you. We love you.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.